Lucy Grimble and Bianca Rose. 9:30, it's UCB2, and today we get to hear from Richard Johnston. He is leader of Revive Us Again Ministries and Christian Mindfulness. Morning, Richard. Welcome to UCB2.
Good morning. Thank you so much for having me.
So I hear there's some good things happening there. Is it Scotland that you're speaking to me from today?
Yes, it is. I'm just north of Edinburgh. About 10 days ago, we had our conference in Edinburgh, which was a sellout conference with Artie Kendall and other Scottish preachers and ministers speaking at that conference. And we had a wonderful time in the presence of God. Just the power of God's presence there was so sweet. On the Sunday, I actually spent the whole day with Artie Kendall. He had a couple of preaching engagements. The first was at the Church of Scotland, and he preached his famous message called Total Forgiveness. And it was so powerful. I've heard it many times, if I'm honest, but it was so powerful. There was such an anointing on what he said that I found myself weeping. And I looked across the aisle in the church at the minister of the church, and he was weeping as well. And then I realized that actually many people in the congregation were weeping too. So something's happening. God is touching people's hearts and bringing a cleansing to his church, purifying his church through the gift of forgiveness. And the same thing happened in the evening at a different church. Really powerful message from R.T. Kendall. Mm. And I had to get the hankies out again. I was crying again just with a deep sense of the presence and power of God.
When that happens, Richard, you know that the Spirit of God is on the move, and that's the power of God's word. As you said, you know, I imagine a lot of people in that audience had probably heard that Kendall sermon a few times. That's a thing if you've been preaching for a long time, you know, you haul out the big guns every now and then. But it would fall flat if it was based on anything other than God's word. It's alive, it's active, and it's empowered by the Holy Spirit. And at different seasons, at different times, it holds different weight and it carries something different in the atmosphere. How about you? For you personally, what have you sensed God doing in you in recent months, maybe? I mean, putting this conference together was pretty huge. So I imagine you're just recovering from that as well.
Yeah, it took me a few days of rest and sleep to recover. But my heart has been singing just with thankfulness and gratitude to God for all that he's done. I could never have imagined, 30, 35 years ago when I became a Christian, that it could be me that was hosting a conference like that. Who, me? Really? Lord, me? And, you know, God does miraculous things. He takes us, he takes our broken lives, and he brings his healing and restoration into our hearts through his word and through his spirit. And I am just so thankful to God for what he's been doing in recent days in Scotland. You know, the same meeting on that Sunday evening, 10 days ago, R.T. Kendall did a gospel appeal, and 15 people gave their lives to Christ. And just yesterday I was hearing about Aberdeen. And there's a big church in Aberdeen in Scotland called King's Church. And there was a big youth event only last week. 800 young people praising and worshipping God. And a gospel appeal again, inviting people to give their lives to Jesus. And at least 100 young people, teenagers, give their lives to Jesus. This is happening in the UK today. God is on the move in the UK today and in Scotland today. There are so many stories in our press about church decline, everything is doom and gloom. Actually, in those churches that are open to preach the word of God in the power of the Spirit, God is on the move, and he honors his word, and he is touching hearts to bring people out of darkness into light. And I give him praise for what he's doing in these days. I don't want to be presumptuous. I don't want to overhype it. We want to stay level-headed and really look carefully to see if these stories can be verified. But there are so many stories going about in these days now of God using normal believers to plant new churches and lead people to faith. So I believe that God is on the move. But let's not be presumptuous about it.
Yeah. You mentioned when you gave your life to Christ over 30 years ago. How does that happen? Did you grow up in a Christian home? What is your awareness of God as a young Richard?
Yeah, no, I didn't really grow up in a Christian home. My mom occasionally went to church, but we didn't really speak about Jesus, and I didn't read the Bible as a teenager until my older sister started to share her faith with me. And one Saturday afternoon, I was lying on my bed as a teenager, and I prayed, okay, God, if you're there, if there is a God, please come and take away this emptiness, this sadness that is inside my heart. And I know this doesn't happen for everyone, but this is what happened to me. The Holy Spirit came upon me in that moment, and I felt it was like divine electricity going through my body. And just a love and a joy suddenly flooded my heart, and I began to cry. And I was surprised. Wow, what is this? It was the power of the Holy Spirit. It was God in that moment touching my heart and saying, yes, I am here. I am real. I am alive. And I'm here for you. And that was a massive turning point for me at the end of September 1989.
A moment like that is incredible. You describe yourself as being somebody who's quite contemplative, meditative in any way, just in terms of your personality and your character. Christian mindfulness is something that you've been leaning into a little bit more and actually teaching and equipping on. Mindfulness has become a bit of a buzzword in society. It's, which I love, in the sense of, you know, people kind of trying to push into spaces of quiet and stillness. But as a Christian, we can sometimes get a little fearful of meditation, any kinds of words of meditation. It's actually a biblical principle. Tell us a bit about how this begins to factor in your story of faith, in your journey with Jesus.
Yeah. Well, you know, when I came to Christ, my inner world was not a very safe place to be. I was highly self-critical. Any time I messed up as a Christian, I would come down on myself really hard. So I would put myself in the spiritual doghouse for several days, even for the smallest of misdemeanors. One thing that mindfulness has taught me is actually that approach to how I relate to myself is not the heart of God at all. In fact, when Jesus died on the cross, he said, "It is finished." And he took our punishment on himself when he died on the cross. And that means there's no punishment left. He's not going to try to make us atone for our sins ourselves. So he says, you're free from that punishment now. You don't need to beat up on yourself anymore. You can walk in the freedom of my grace and mercy, moment by moment, day by day.
When it comes to mindfulness, though, tell us the story of how that comes about and what you do, just some of the practices that have been helpful for you, and some of the, just some of the concerns, I guess, that Christians have when you're talking about mindfulness.
Well, I think we have to be clear, if we're speaking about Christian mindfulness, then I would describe myself as a contemplative evangelical. So the Bible is my final authority for what I believe, and practicing mindfulness must be within a biblical framework. But regardless of your faith, even people who would say they have no faith can practice mindfulness, because at basic level, mindfulness is about paying attention in the present moment, with kindness. So, as I do this interview on radio right now, I'm seeking to pay attention to you, Ruth, and listen to what you're saying. But I can also be aware in this moment of the presence of God with me. So, you can either put your antennae up and tune in, or you can not be mindful and tune out. Part of the reason that so many of us tune out is we are so distracted. We are bombarded with information, and mainly through screens, television, mobile phones, internet, apps, Facebook, Twitter. We are constantly being bombarded with information. So our attention becomes fragmented. And mindfulness is actually about gathering your attention to the present moment. Christian mindfulness is about gathering your attention to the present moment and being open to the enjoyment of the presence of Jesus with you in the here and now. So to really a bit like you might remember Jack Sparrow in Pirates of the Caribbean. He had this compass that was supposed to direct his life. The only problem with Jack Sparrow is he was extremely chaotic. So the dial and the compass was going all over the place. But as Christians, we're called for our due north on our compass to come to Jesus and his love for us. So we seek to be aware of that reality. Right here, right now, we say, come, Holy Spirit, take me by the hand, walk with me, Jesus, today. Thank you for your grace and mercy in this moment that is a gift from you. And as we do that, we can sense the presence and peace of God filling our lives. And yes, our minds will wander. Yes, we'll be distracted. That's part of being human. But we can come back, like the compass, to due north and open our spirits to the reality of Christ with us.
Hearing today from Richard Johnston, and you can find him on christianmindfulness.co.uk. He also leads Revive Us Again Ministries. I imagine there are lots of people who will be able to kind of really resonate with what you say in terms of being highly self-critical. I think as Christians, that is something that a lot of us really struggle with, and that Satan often keeps us at arm's length from God, in, you know, not walking in God's incredible grace. And also, just I'm aware of kind of the expectations that are on us, all the different responsibilities that we have, the busyness of life, the deadlines that we have, you know, thinking about mindfulness just feels like it's another thing that I need to do to add to the list of to-dos. How does somebody practically go from a really distracted, busy, you know, Jack Sparrow, chaotic life and mind? Maybe just in terms of personality and character, they're not naturally contemplative and meditative. What do you say to that person today when it comes to Christian mindfulness and some of the practical things that they can do to start to be more aware of what God is doing in them and through them in the moment?
Well, you have what I would describe as formal and informal mindfulness practice. And in mindfulness practice, what I mean by that is exercising the muscle of your attention. So it's a bit like going to the gym. If you've not been to the gym for a while, you might be a little bit flabby and out of condition. And the reality is many of our attention muscles are quite flabby. We get distracted so easily. We're not able to focus and pay attention. So through both formal meditation practice and informal practice, we can exercise the muscle of our attention. The informal practice could be as simple as when you're taking your dog for a walk in the morning, you just bring your attention to the beauty of creation around you, and you open your spirit to the Lord, and you say his name, Jesus or Father. And in that moment, you're being mindful of the presence of God with you. So it's about exercising the muscle of your attention. It's a gradual process of becoming more mindful, both through the formal meditative practices, but also through informal practices. You might remember Brother Lawrence, who wrote that well-known book, Practicing the Presence of God. And he sought to practice the presence of God, regardless of the task he was doing. So he could be singing a psalm in the monastery, or he could be doing the gardening or washing the dishes. The invitation for all of us is to welcome the presence of God with us right here, right now, because as believers in Christ, the Holy Spirit lives in us. He indwells us, but often our attention is disconnected from that reality. So Christian mindfulness is about reconnecting our attention and awareness to the reality of Jesus in us by the Spirit, but also God's presence around us in the beauty of creation, and also God's Spirit in others around us as well.
Richard, you mentioned the informal Christian mindfulness that we can perhaps begin to exercise today. I think of my walk that I like to do after the show, instead of listening to a podcast, which I will often do, to just leave that off. And I do occasionally do that, and I find it incredibly beneficial to be more aware of the plants and the road I'm walking on and the birds, the sounds. All of my senses just are heightened, and I find that really beneficial for me. But what about the formal practices for you? What do you do? How have you found it make a difference in your life as well?
Well, I think there are a whole variety of different approaches. There's what is sometimes called Lectio Divina, a scripture meditation, where we could take a short gospel passage and meditate on that. You know, for example, the well-known story of Mary and Martha in Luke chapter 10. We see Martha rushing about trying to prepare this elaborate meal for Jesus, and she bursts into the room where Mary is sitting, kneeling at the feet of Jesus, listening to Jesus, and Martha says, "Don't you care? You know, I've been left to do all the work here." So she accuses Jesus of not caring. She's so distracted and frustrated and worked up. But actually, Jesus says, Martha, Martha, Mary has chosen the better part, the one thing that really matters. And Mary is there at the feet of Jesus. So that's a beautiful picture of contemplative prayer. Someone just enjoying being with Jesus. So that's a very quick run through of a Lectio Divina meditation. Or you could just take one verse of scripture. You know, one of my favorite verses is Psalm 27, verse 4, where King David speaks about gazing upon the beauty of the Lord and seeking him in his temple. So we're invited to gaze upon the Lord in that place of stillness and quietness. And as we do that, the Holy Spirit can change us and gradually shape us and mold us to become more like Christ. And so God's beauty is formed within us through meditative, contemplative prayer. And that's something that really thrills my heart, that no time spent with God is ever wasted. No matter how you feel, you're making a choice to position yourself before God and say, here I am, Lord. Here I am in this new day that is a gift from you. And I want to walk with you. I want to be changed by you. And I just invite you to come and be with me in this moment. So it's a faith exercise, but it's also experiential often, because we sense the presence of God with us in a wonderful way.
Do you have a favorite thing that you do or place that you go that just takes you right to that space? You've been exercising your muscle of attention, and so you're there straight away.
Well, I do have a cockapoo dog, and I love to take him for a walk. You know, I can maybe recite a verse from a psalm as I walk the dog, or even pray in tongues as I walk. And as I do that, I'm communing with the Lord and enjoying his presence. It's about the secret place with God. You know, Jesus says, when you pray, go into your room, close the door where nobody else can see you, and you will be rewarded. My Father in heaven will reward you. So it's not so much about being on the big stage. It's actually about your secret place with Jesus. And, you know, for anyone listening today, I would ask that question. Are you responding to the invitation of Jesus to go into the secret place with him and to allow him to commune with you and to change your heart so that you can fulfill the calling and purposes of God in your life?
You've been listening into Richard Johnston, and you can find him all about the Revive Us Again Ministries and Christian Mindfulness on christianmindfulness.co.uk. Thank you so much, Richard.